God is communicating to his people. Then it says, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. All right. So this, the sun was not on until the fourth day. The fourth day is Wednesday. Okay. When Jesus came and died for us, he died on a Wednesday. Not only in the week that he died at the at Wednesday evening. The evening and the morning is the first first day, or the second day, or the third day. In this case, the evening and the morning were the fourth day. He died the final hours of Wednesday. And according to the covenant week, the covenant week is a 1,000-year period. That was also a Wednesday. Okay. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. This is the fifth day. Now we got animals. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Now watch this. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. All creation could see this. Now we're coming to man. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. Now watch this. Now, the sixth day. Okay, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. See that word replenish? That means refill the earth. That means refill the earth. Replenish the earth. That means refill the earth, because at one point it was full. Then it became void and desolate. Theologians shouldn't play with the word of God. Leave it like it is. The Holy Spirit. I looked at that word for years. I said, wait a minute. Now that replenished the earth. That didn't fit the paradigm I was taught. So I went biblical. I said, I'm gonna go with what God said. It puzzled me, just like it puzzles others. But I said, I'm gonna run with it. I believe it. I received what God said, not what man say that God said. And you have to be that way, because the Holy Spirit cannot lie to you. All right. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So this is the first mention of man's authority. And all of creation saw that God was beautifying and restoring this planet. And then he made man. And everybody everywhere could see this man, because we're going to find out he was clothed with the glory and likeness of God. You see that? God said, God made us in his own image. He created us in his image. You could still see the glory of God as he was working. And now you can see the man that God made and the glory of God upon him. Not only that, and God put him to sleep and made a woman. Now you saw the glory of God, because it outshined the sun. Then you saw the glory of God upon his new creation, Adam. Then you saw God put him to sleep and take out a rib and make a woman. Now you see the glory of God upon God himself. You see the glory of God upon Adam, and the glory of God upon Eve. Now, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. This could be seen anywhere in space. Not to mention that, remember, Solomon said that there's nothing new under the sun. If it's been done, whatever we do has been done before. Well, if you have a holy society that advances, they can make telescopes and whatever they need to see from where they are to where you are. And remember something. Not only that, our loved ones that went to heaven, they're part of the cloud of witnesses. They have a way of looking and seeing what you're doing. Because the word wouldn't have said that they were a cloud of witnesses if they couldn't see what you're doing, if they couldn't witness. That wouldn't make sense. We're a cloud of witness, but we can't see nothing. They're not witnesses then. So I'm giving you biblical facts, folks. God loves us. He thought of everything. Everybody, all the prophets, they can see what society is doing. Jesus told his disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation, run to the mountain. See, it doesn't matter whether not Peter, John, James, all of them, Apostle Paul, they've been gone a long time. They're part of the crowd of witnesses, and they're going to see the Antichrist. Moses will see the Antichrist because they're part of the cloud of witnesses, and whoever's on earth will see him too. It don't matter if the rapture happens first. You're still going to see the Antichrist when he crawled out of his hole, wherever he's hiding. So now, you have to put all, you know, the Holy Spirit helps us connect the true dots of God's word. A lot of people will say all kind of opinions, but opinions don't get it. You have to go by everything I just said is biblical. If the word says they're a cloud of witnesses, they can see, that means they can see us now in real time. Okay. And the Lord taught me that again. Everything that he does, whenever you see the word most, best, goodliest, those are evaluations. And in order for it to be a true evaluation, everybody has to be noted. God told Satan, have you seen anybody like my servant Job that fears God and shuns evil? There was nobody like him. That's an evaluation. When God chose Saul to be king, he was the goodliest. That means every male in Israel was evaluated, and he was the best choice. So don't overlook evaluations. Evaluation proves facts. The cloud of witnesses witness us. That's a fact. So here we are. Okay. And God, verse 29. So he gave man dominion. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon all the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it should be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given you every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. See, here we have God doing something on the first day. Then he did something on the second day. And then he did something on the third day. And so on with the fourth and fifth and sixth day. Then it says on the seventh day he rested. Let's see. Genesis chapter 2. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. That's when Jesus comes back. Jesus was exposed on the fourth day. See, four is a number that's that's associated with division. Nothing divides darkness like light. When God said, let there be light, he divided the light from the darkness. He chose the light, rejected the darkness. Christ is exposed. The sun came on the fourth day. That told the whole universe something on the fourth day will happen. Because the natural week, the creation week, or the restoration week, that's what I call it. On the fourth day, the sun and the stars came back on. That's the restoration week. That's a good way to remember that. That's the restoration week. The restoration week represents the covenant week because the restoration week suggests that there's a covenant coming. And everything that happened in the restoration week happened in the covenant week. The first day was Sunday. God made Adam. The second day, God divided the waters from the waters. He had to judge the earth again on Monday. He flooded the earth again, and he divided 8 people from everybody else. See, what happened in the restoration week happens in the covenant week. Then Monday came around, and then we got the law. And I got to remember, the law came, it may have been Tuesday. And then Christ came on Wednesday. I got to research that again. I had it all written down. But everything that happens in the covenant week mirrors what happened the restoration week. Seventh day got rested. Jesus is coming back. He's going to reign 1,000 years. This is the process to judge the wickedness. Now watch verse 3. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And these are the generations of heaven, of the heavens, and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. This is the highest standard that we're going to go by, folks. God is doing something that's going to affect everything. Jesus affects everything. And in St. John, it says that he was the Word of God. There was nothing made without him. He made everything. And now he's affecting everything. All of this is very important. With God, everything must be done with an order. Let me continue down. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The whole face. That means there was no deserts. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He made us out of dust. And he made us out of dust because we are we're made out of the least of the earth. Now, he made angels out of precious stones, gold. Every precious stone was Lucifer's covering. So, but he made us out of dust. What is God doing? He's preparing to judge evil once and for all. All right, out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from this it was parted and became into 4 heads. The first was Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And the same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. Why didn't God make man out of precious stones? Because he had once made angels out of precious stones. He's proving a point here. He made us in his likeness, and he also made us out of the dust of the ground. And the, okay, continuing. Verse 14, the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And God, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Man didn't name Eden. That was already named. If I understand it right, Eden was the place that man didn't name. And God put him, now watch the wording. God put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, but I will make him an help meet or fit for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field. Now this is just information. Now this happened on the fifth day, of course. But this is just information, clarity information. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help fit for him. And he knew it. He had a reference. He said, I don't have one, a mate fit for me. Then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay, here they were naked and they were not ashamed, because if you saw Adam, he would have looked just like God. He would have looked like the glory of God. If you saw Eve, she would have looked like the glory of God too. I learned this from Pastor Webb. I always wondered, they didn't seem to know they were naked until they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then they knew they were naked. Before they were naked and they weren't ashamed. Shame didn't just happen because of sin. They didn't know they were naked because they were clothed with the glory of God. Now, Pastor Webb, he said that everything God made is clothed from within. They have scales, they have hide or shell. They're clothed from within. They grew their clothes. They're hairy. They grow, hide hair. They grow it, and they're clothed. They look like they're supposed to. But man is naked. We were supposed to be clothed with the glory of God, and we were supposed to stay clothed with the glory of God, because we were not supposed to sin. But see, the act of sin caused a problem. It caused us to be disconnected, out of order. It caused us to be naked, just like the Laodicean church, wretched. They assess themselves to be increased with good, rich, have need of nothing. But Jesus said, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The opposite of Adam. They're supposed to be fruitful, which is to be, see, if you're fruitful, when you're fruitful, that means to prepare yourself to give profit. You're being like a peach tree. You're being like a fruit. You're being like an apple tree. You're bearing fruit to serve. That's the first. God said, be fruitful. You prepare yourself to be a blessing to others. You prepare yourself to give profit. Then to multiply, you increase greatly. So you'll have to give. Then the third one is to replenish the earth. That don't just mean you have a bunch of kids, but you prepare. These five standards: be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. That's what the Lord called the cycle of life. You do this in every category. When you train your children, you train them with that cycle in mind. When you take on a career, you do it with that cycle in mind. You're fruitful. Prepare yourself to give profit. You multiply. To multiply is to at least double. To replenish the earth, you give to people, and that causes the cycle to continue. You subdue it. Don't let it get out of control. And when God says subdue it, that's the first clue that you got an enemy out there. And you take dominion, not him. Have dominion over the earth. All the animals are subject to you. Serve them. Make the whole earth look like the Garden of Eden. That's the purpose of it. See, God gave man an example and a pattern. The pattern is to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Those are the five commandments that we do. This is what you do. I said, Lord, you told him to do that, but you didn't tell him to love. He said, son, all he understood was love. So to people that have the love of God in them, the agape love of God, that's what you do. Those are your five commandments. The law was given to lawless people. Adam wasn't lawless. He had love in him. You can't be lawless with the love of God in you. You can't have any form of lawlessness if you're full of the love of God. That's why if we live in God's strength, we fill our heart with his, we receive his word and fill our heart with his word. And you fill your heart by receiving his word. And then you act on it. You believe it after you receive it and you act on it. It becomes faith. The just shall live by his faith. And it's trust. You trust when you act on what you believe by God's word, or you act on God's word by the Holy Spirit. You trust what he say, and when you act on it, believing becomes faith, and also trust becomes faith. You put action to that noun. Believing is if you believe, that's a noun. If you trust, that's a noun. But when you act on it, it's faith. Okay, now, here's the problem. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And she was consistent. Now watch this. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Nothing's going to happen to you. You shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now watch this. When he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now they're hiding. They know they're naked. The war, it came upon the earth when they did this. There was no reason to trust a serpent that did nothing for you of the past. So they took him at his word. Eve did it because of deception. Adam did it because of rebellion. He just outright sinned. He trusted. He obeyed a serpent and not God. So when we believe on Jesus, we're taking God at face value. We believe on Jesus and not Satan. We call Jesus Lord and not Satan. He's not our Lord, and we don't like him. We don't like his ways. We don't need anything he's got, anything he's offering us. This is where the rebellion started. But God didn't give up on us. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now remember something. I said earlier, everything God did is communication. That meant everybody everywhere knew what was going on. This is what they saw. They saw God. See, they saw darkness. Then they saw the devastation when God said, let there be light. Because the light of God was shining on the desolate and void and dark earth covered with water, in and out of water. And then they saw God restored. Then they saw God made man. Then they saw him make woman. Then they lived a while. And then they saw the light of Adam and Eve go out. They were lost. They couldn't tell where they were on earth by the light. The glory of God was gone. Then they saw him hide. Now they could see him personally, but they couldn't see the glory of God upon him. Something had happened. What could remove the glory of God from a man unless he got in some kind of sin? And then, now remember, all of this is Sunday. The restoration week began on a Sunday. And the 1,000 years were not up. God said, the day you should eat off this tree, you should surely die. He lived to be 930 years. And then after a while, they didn't see Adam moving anymore. And then they saw him get buried. They knew he died. Okay, now death worked in him. He didn't live 1,000 years. If he lived 1,000 years or one day after 1,000 years, the word of God would have been broken. But it didn't happen. He died at the age of 930 years. And the Bible tells us that. Now look at the God asked what happened here. So they hid themselves from the presence of God, of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God knew what he had done. But verse 12 says, and the man said, the woman gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She thought she was doing something good. Now remember, sin is transferred through the male, not the female. So now watch what God does. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. If you saw a serpent before the fall, he had legs. He looked different. And after the fall, he looked like a snake. He looked like a mouth with a long neck. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's what happened. Jesus Christ is the seed of woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of your wife, and is eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now, the tree of life was there also. And after he ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death began to work in him. He couldn't eat off. Eating off the tree of life is, it's like reading and studying and receiving the word of God in your heart. That's what it's like to eat off the tree of life. Eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is like adultery. It's like receiving something that's not yours. It's stealing. It's sin. The doing this act, in order for you to have sin, you have to have a leaven of hatred to act against God. Anybody that's anywhere that does any form of sin, you have to have a leaven of hatred to eat off the tree of the knowledge.